Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome everyone, I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, I'm your presenter for today's session, and our session is focusing on the national body, the Federation of Grey Power New Zealand. So our Grey Power Association is one of 75 in New Zealand, so the Auckland Association is sending two representatives, two delegates, down to Wellington to the National AGM of the Federation. So it'll be a very interesting 3 days of debate over remits, over things that concern different associations that they want to see us as a lobby group nationwide focused on. Last time housing was uppermost with two remits that were almost identical from two different associations. Ours was one. And when I spoke to that remit, I got a standing ovation. There was no doubt about it. Everybody in the room was totally behind getting progress. And I'm pleased to say that the particular teams known as national advisory groups that work for the Federation to develop policy and to lobby government and prepare the research that people take to Parliament with them when they front ministers. The group that deals with local government, housing and transport is headed by Pete Machum, who's currently the Vice President of the Federation. And Pete is a researcher. He's working on a PhD about things in the senior sector. He's very concerned about progressing the agenda of age-friendly. And with regards to housing, he continues to advocate for it as a major problem affecting seniors, particularly homelessness, which is the hidden face of the crisis. Seniors are not the uppermost thought in people's minds when they think about the homeless, but it's a very real problem for many people who are not faring well living only on National Super. Now, he's been concerned about the falling rates of mortgage-free home ownership, the major implications for the social, physical and mental health of older people struggling to pay a mortgage, to pay hefty rates, and the value in getting the warrant of fitness for all homes through with the changes in legislation for landlords. That's been a really welcome shift because it guarantees that people are going to live in better housing in the future. And particularly if people can't afford to own their own homes, we don't want to see people in cold, damp homes, particularly in the later years of their lives. So this advocacy has been very strong on the part of the Federation, and they've been well heard, I believe, in the various advocacy trips that they have made to Parliament on this topic. Now, accessibility is an area, it's a big policy area, and it's something that's really on the agenda for the Ministry of Social Development. They are working to prepare a documentation to go to Cabinet on the kind of legislative framework that this country needs in order to make sure that not only the built environment and housing is accessible, but public transport, there is connections that enable people to get to the transport, the access to the stations is acceptable for all types of users, including wheelchair users. Now, that's only one aspect of accessibility. I mean, there are many others. People with low vision, people with hearing problems. The list of disabled people and their problems is quite vast. And so this accessibility legislation has to cover really all environments and all situations, and it also has to have teeth. So this will actually beef up the whole introduction and implementation of age-friendly cities and communities around the country. It's going to strengthen us as an age-friendly country, which we have signed up to at the UN. So those local bodies who actually joined in now age-friendly cities or age-friendly towns and communities. And I'm thinking of the Kapiti Coast. Of course, Hamilton was the first, but the Kapiti Coast is the regional district council that has seven towns that have gone age-friendly. And we know that there are others in the pipeline. In Napier, they are progressing. They have brought in special discounts for parking for seniors, so that seniors, when they go to a lawyer or when they need advice, when they need to see a specialist, they can park and not be stung with crippling parking charges. I think that there are many highlights, if you look around the country, of councils introducing age-friendly things that will benefit seniors. And while they won't cover off every area, they are highlighting something that draws attention to seniors' needs. So in Tauranga, they, although they haven't joined the age-friendly city movement and signed on to the UN process, they have actually been very concerned to be responsive, and they've got a great forum arrangement where seniors put forward their ideas. Their ideas are recorded by council staff, and a policy analyst works with them from the council and helps draft their ideas into some form that can be taken in a formal way to the council meetings, and the councillors vote on them. And so far they have brought in many of the recommendations that this forum has made. So one of them was to create a battery charging shed on the outskirts of town in several locations, so people can travel in their motorised chairs down to the bus stop, leave their scooter for charging, and move onto the bus, go into the city, and do whatever they need to be doing there, and then just jump on the bus, come back, and their chair has been charged, and they're able to then return back to their retirement village or their home. And in many cases, that means they have access to the bus because they've got that intermediary transport. And that's very, very much uppermost at the moment when I think about the e-scooters. And many people have been wanting grey power to be thumping the table and saying e-scooters need to be banned and so on and so forth. But e-scooters are proving that they are a very valuable link to help people move between one form of transport and another, to reach buses on routes when they would normally not have the time to walk the distance, or it's uncomfortable and it doesn't fit in with their schedule, or they don't, then they're not able to move between two different bus routes fast enough to take advantage of the timetable, but they can with an e-scooter. So it's very welcome to see that the Auckland Council has decided to reduce the speed of these so that they are to be travelling at 15 k's an hour, and that is the speed limit they've set. And they're extending trials to another scooter firm. So there will be two lots of scooters out there, not just the Lime scooters, but Flamingo has also got scooters out, coming out. So that is going to bring about big change in the pedestrian shed spaces environment. Now, it's 15 k's an hour, still reasonably rapid, and it's still going to present some problems for people who have sight problems and mobility issues, who don't have good balance. They're not wanting to be in the path where they have to get out of the way in a hurry. But having said that, I think that e-scooters are likely to be here to stay. It doesn't seem feasible to ban them indefinitely, and I don't really see that's, you know, going to help seniors, because it will start another element of a warfare between generations, and I don't think that's going to improve things for seniors long term. But in the transport space, advocacy from the Federation has been quite prolific, perhaps not in Auckland, but throughout the country. there's been a focus on working with Living Streets and their advocacy for safer footpaths, for prioritising pedestrians on footpaths. And that's all been useful, the Grey Powers sharing and collaborating with others that are on to the same focus. I think that strengthens our arm and it shows us as being part of the community, strongly part of the community. We're not some isolated, selfish group with their own interests. And that's where that's the space we're in for advocacy. We're in a space where we join and partner with others. So I'm looking forward to going down to Wellington this coming week and the reports about what these different advisory groups have been doing, particularly in health, I think will be really interesting because health is going through such a lot of upheaval. There's talk about amalgamating DHBs. There's many cuts been happening and then ministers had to step in and say, well, look, we're not having cuts to the disabled and their shower times and all the rest of it need to remain. And I think that we've got some big questions still about how the health service is delivering because it's not even. And if you have cataracts in South Auckland, you're not likely to get seen early enough. The degeneration of your eyesight is going to be a worry and you might have to give up driving and still haven't had your surgery. Whereas if you're in the Auckland DHB, you'll get seen much faster. So I think these kind of anomalies don't sit well with Grey Power because we're about fairness. We're about making sure that everyone gets a fair go, and it shouldn't matter where you live, what sort of service you get. You should be able to get the same quality service anywhere in the country. So why do we go to this federation when we're all independent associations? Well, years ago, 32 years ago, in fact, when Auckland Grey Power was formed, we were the first in the country, and then gradually these other associations sprang up around the country as the fight to protect seniors' income was what was drawing people together and filling the halls. And in those days, the then Prime Minister, Robert Muldoon, had the temerity to decide to tax seniors' income 50 cents in the dollar for every $40 and above earned by them on top of their pension. And that was a pretty steep thing. I mean, the only thing I can think of that's on a comparable scale is the poll tax imposed on Chinese. That was 100%, which was really, really shocking. But 50 cents in the dollar is something I don't think they'd get away with today and with social media and so on. It wouldn't take 5 years to get it repealed. But that's what it took back in the day, 32 years ago. So it took 100,000 seniors marching and filling halls for 5 years to get the government to change its mind. But it developed a reputation and a profile for Grey Power that's still alive today and very much in the minds of politicians. And that's very useful. We're a great deterrent force. So when we do speak up, we're also a litmus test of what's going to go down well or not across the mainstream in society. We have people from every walk of life. We have people from every political party, every different perspective. So if we can, on the floor of our AGM, get a unanimous vote for something, that sends a very strong message. And that is something then that we can take to politicians. And I think that's the value of the Federation, having its AGM once a year, having an opportunity to pull in viewpoints from around the country and having an opportunity for us to talk about what are the things that are really troubling us. And yes, we do have a zone meeting, a regional meeting in Auckland where 8 Grey Powers get together, and occasionally we talk on the phone, president to president. And I was just talking to the representative from our region who sits on the Federation board last night, finding out what troubles they were having in the banking sector. And really, it brought home to me just how much is changing for us. This particular person was trying to explain to the bank manager how difficult it was to turn up to the bank with 100 checks because she couldn't take them to the teller. She had to feed them in bundles of 20 through a machine. If the machine didn't accept them or jammed or couldn't cope with them in some way, miscounted, then there was some issues about how much money they had in their account. So invariably, it had to go back to a manual thing. They had to unlock the machine, get all the checks out, and they had to go and sit in front of a teller. I think it was 5:30 when she finally left the bank building. Now, that sort of story might sound like a one-off, but you imagine 75 associations with hundreds of checks that they're having to process in March of a year. What is that like for the people doing the processing? Because the banks haven't thought about things. They think they can do away with the checks. They can stop people using them. They can discourage them. They don't think about receiving 100 checks on one day from one person because businesses don't work like that, do they? But not-for-profits are different. And that's another reason why we're in Grey Power, is so that when we work together in the Federation, if we have common issues like this, we can bring them up and we can take them further afield. We can take them to the Minister for Consumer Affairs and say, well, the digital world isn't working for seniors and we need some sort of protection. We need some sort of extra assistance. And that's where the accessibility legislation comes in. So it's not just about the built environment. So this legislation that I mentioned earlier is something that will support seniors. It will be probably the biggest change that we could possibly imagine in terms of the most far-reaching thing that Grey Power could be supporting in order to protect seniors' well-being in the future. And I can't really talk about it in any detail at the moment, but it's something that we will be actively working around when it gets announced and as it moves through the parliamentary stage of readings and so on, and select committee and all that. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of profile raising, awareness raising, and in that space, we've been asked to work alongside the Accessible Alliance. And the Accessible Alliance is a group of people, 19-odd organisations, who are working together to support the raising of awareness and profile around this issue. And I've been very aware of the Blind Foundation supporting and providing a salaried worker to lead the program. And I started meeting with them about 6 months ago, so I've now linked a number of key people, including the former Professor of Planning and Architecture from Auckland University, Dr. Dori Reeves, and we've had various speakers come in and talk about accessible housing in our public meetings and so on. So the groundwork has been going on for a while, and I will be doing some future programs around this. So at this stage, I think it might be time to take a music break. And I've chosen Bridge Over Troubled Waters, Simon and Garfunkel. I think it's probably quite appropriate in a way, because we've had a lot of troubled waters recently in terms of the Christchurch attacks, in terms of the Sri Lankan attacks and at Easter, and you know, threats to well-being and peace are there rumbling away, but overall there's still opportunities to celebrate, and there are opportunities to take note and to find ways to increase peace in the world. So please enjoy. Welcome back, everyone. Now, I'm just about at the stage of wanting to give you some announcements because I like to keep people up to date with what's happening. And Auckland Council, having voted to bring in an age-friendly city and join the UN movement, is now going through a process of implementation. And to do this, they can't just overnight legislate to change a whole lot of things to make them age friendly. That's not how it works. They actually have to get a baseline data. They have to look at the 8 areas of the model, try and see where we're doing well and where we're not doing so well, think about how they will measure that, and hear from the community first on what the community thinks the real big issues are in each of the 8 areas. And even look and see whether there's a need for a 9th area. And then, coupled with all these meetings around the region, they will produce all this feedback and they will go back and they will come up with a draft strategy. And then that will possibly be consulted on as well in the end. But it's a process. And the start of this process has happened already. I went to the meeting that involved the various panels, advisory panels of the council, the seniors advisory panel, the ethnic advisory panel, the disability advisory panel, and they were having an interactive session with councillors. And I went along wearing my grey power hat as an honorary tack on to the seniors advisory panel. So that was a very good experience because I could see all these topics about housing, transport, communications, the digital divide, civic participation, employment. All these topics were laid out on sheets with some of the key bullet points, and people were adding to them with their ideas on sticky paper. And I gather this is what is going to happen around the region. So on this Friday, which will have already passed when you're hearing the program, it's Community Support and Health Services in Franklin. But then on the 24th of May at 10:15, they're going to be in Mangere Bridge talking about transport. And I imagine that e-scooters will be very much on the agenda, but there will be other issues as well. And how do you get to the arterial routes to access the transport? I think that seems to be the feeder bus concept. That seems to be really coming up again and again, and that was in the session I attended, and I imagine it will be in the session on the 24th of May. So we will have a representative from Auckland Grey Power attending that. Now on the 27th of May, on the Monday at 10:15, there's going to be a session on outdoor spaces in the Warkworth Town Hall. So they're going all over the region. They're trying to be accessible for people who would normally feel left out. I'm going to give you updates for the June meetings on the first Sunday in June. So I will outline those, but those include housing, employment, community participation, information, culture and diversity. So I'm going to be summarising what our representatives get out of these meetings and what I get out of them where I manage to get to them. And we're going to send that information through to the Federation. So it will mean that the Federation is very aware of what seniors are talking about in Auckland with regards to the age-friendly city implementation. And we hope that with the conference set up for next March by the Accessible Alliance, the international conference, we'll have ample opportunity to keep the awareness rising going and to keep the pressure on. And I look forward to coming back on with some interesting stuff from the Federation's AGM when we next get together. So in the interim, you'll have Richard Barter doing his session, and then I will come back in June. Thank you for listening. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/seniorfocus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.